Hello, and welcome to the podcast devoted to helping you hear well done from the lips of the master after running the race he has marked out for you. When faced with the sight of millions of men, women, and children from war-torn lands seeking to escape tyranny to have a better life, most Christians will voice their approval for open-door policies of inclusion, hospitality, diversity, and welcome. Some Christians have even argued that failure to have such open-hearted attitudes towards these immigrants is sinfully, selfishly letting, quote, the gods of fear and security dictate how we respond, unquote. That from Mark Galley, Christianity Today. Does the biblical call to care for the sojourner and resident alien imply that those with true Christ-like love for non-Americans requires us to throw open our borders to all who want to enter? Jesus did teach that true believers will hear from Jesus, "I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." Doesn't this settle the issue? All Christians must be welcoming to immigrants who want to come into our country. Your children and grandchildren are hearing that argument. This episode seeks to help us all think biblically about the hot topic today of illegal, undocumented immigrants coming across our southern border. For joining us today for Season 5, Episode Number 12 of Mission Focused Men for Christ. My name is Gary Yeagle. Scripture describes a subset of King David's mighty men from the tribe of Issachar as men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. This is a description of the band of brothers this podcast is seeking to build. Men who understand their times, because they view culture through a biblical lens, and who therefore know what their families, churches, and nation should do. As we continue this month's series on false worldviews that lead our loved ones astray, today we dig into what the Bible says about the Christian's responsibility to care well for immigrants who are called sojourners or resident aliens in Scripture. And the first observation we want to make is that all Christians are to give special care to sojourners, to immigrants. At the core of Christian ethics is the recognition that every human being has dignity as God's image bearer, which requires us to care for every human, no matter what their social status. Scripture particularly identifies those holding the lowest status for intentional care: widows, orphans, the poor, and immigrants. The Old Testament is filled with laws and narratives about immigrants. Israelites were commanded to provide for them through an agrarian welfare system where foreigners could glean from an Israelite's field, and were required to pay immigrants in a timely manner for their work. The Israelites were repeatedly warned not to oppress the widow, the orphan, or sojourner in words like these from Deuteronomy 24, "You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless or take a widow's garment in pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this." The prophets frequently called down fire on anyone who claimed to be a follower of Yahweh and mistreated a foreigner. Jeremiah says, "Do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place." Indeed, Malachi puts mistreatment of immigrants on a level with sorcery and adultery. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who oppress widow and fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner. The New Testament concern for immigrants is perhaps even more clear. Jesus was a refugee, fleeing with his family from Herod. He confronted his hometown elders over their racist attitudes toward Gentile outsiders. He attacked the bigoted Jewish hatred for the Samaritans. Peter tells Christians that we ourselves are sojourners in a foreign land. Such status as foreigners should give us a new heart for others who find themselves in similar situations. Moreover, Jesus taught that on Judgment Day, he will look at true Christians and say, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And look at those damned to hell and say, "I was a stranger and you did not welcome me." Well, what are the implications of this teaching when it comes to our attitude towards immigrants? First of all, closing our hearts to the plight of the worldwide poor or oppressed immigrants seeking to flee to our nation is never appropriate. Second, supporting a completely closed border, that is, not having a legitimate legal way to admit any immigrants, is, in my view, not a biblical option, as those whose citizenship is in heaven and who are called to a heart of compassion, shutting out the needy because they are not of our tribe is wrong, in my view. Third, I see no biblical basis for a merit-based system of legal immigration, which some Republican politicians have proposed. That seems the epitome of selfishness and American ethnocentrism. Though difficult to implement, opening our doors to those seeking asylum to escape oppression still seems most biblical to me. And finally, unquestionably, outreach to the immigrant population, whether here legally or illegally, must be as high a priority as reaching out to the poor, homeless, widows, and orphans. However, let's look at an important truth, and that is the fallacy of equating open hearts to immigrants with open borders. The above argument to support justice and provide care for immigrants living in our land provides zero evidence for throwing open the borders of our nation. First of all, the biblical commands require justice and care for immigrants already living in our land. This is an extension of the second great commandment to love your neighbor as ourselves. God is not addressing the issue of eliminating national borders, nor care for those of other nations. To suggest that love for immigrants requires throwing open the doors of the nation would be like saying that love for our neighbor prevents every Hebrew or Christian family from closing the doors of their house to others at night. God considers national boundaries important enough to say, "When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples." Deuteronomy 32:8. In Acts 17:26, we see the same truth, that God himself established boundaries, making distinctions between different groups of people. We read, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." Although authors like Dan Carroll in his book Christians at the Border and Preston Sprinkle in his blog A Christian Response to Undocumented Immigrants attempt to justify the unenforcement of immigration laws protecting our border as civil disobedience, they have no biblical case for doing so. Since there is zero biblical teaching that makes open borders a moral imperative, disagreeing with your nation's immigration policy is no biblical justification for civil disobedience. Scripture permits civil disobedience only when a believer is compelled by the government to violate the clear command of Scripture. There is no verse of Scripture that gives a person the moral right to live in whatever land he or she chooses. It is an unbiblical stretch to turn the calling of all Christians to love their immigrant neighbors into a moral principle that gives every human a right to live in any country he wants to. The argument that many deserving people can't get into our country legally because the ones who do get in legally have the money to bribe officials has no merit. Bribery is a part of every government in the world. The problem of human sin is not solved by an irresponsible U.S. border policy that has no control over who enters our country. The fact of the matter is that the Bible requires governments to enforce a secure border. In Paul's command to submit to government authorities, he gives us great insight about God's purpose that lies behind giving the power of the sword to the state. From Romans 13, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain." Notice the principle behind the civil magistrate. For he is God's servant for your good. The purpose of civil government is your good. God has instituted government to protect citizens from harm. The word good is closely linked to the word beneficial in biblical thought, just as Paul's negative words wrong and bad are linked to causing harm. Government is instituted by God to prevent harm to citizens. Classically, the right to self-defense and to defend your nation against a military invasion is rooted in Paul's teaching here. So, God's ordained purpose for government is to protect from harm. For this reason, border security is indisputably required by God because it is a necessary part of protecting citizens. So let's look at the specific issue of borders a little bit more. A biblical worldview of anything begins by discovering the facts. Proverbs 13:6 says, "Every prudent man acts with knowledge." Proverbs 14:15 gives good advice to those whose only news source is social media. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his ways. If you don't know about the present human suffering caused by the refusal of the Biden administration to enforce immigration law at the borders, you need to find a news source that will tell you the truth. Less than a week after taking office, the Biden administration reversed 94 executive policies that the previous administration had implemented to enforce immigration law. For 3.5 years, this administration has refused to enforce immigration law, which has led to immeasurable suffering. As an update, just 3 days ago, El Paso's migrant dashboard showed that March 21st, 2024, on just one day, from just one location, 743 immigrants who had tried to cross the border illegally were released from custody into the United States instead of returned to their home country as immigration law stipulates. Let's consider the cost of refusing to implement immigration law. Number one, unenforced immigration law promotes human trafficking. In the U.S., immigrants, especially immigrant women, make up the largest portion of trafficking victims. The Department of State estimates that in 2016, 57,700 victims had been trafficked into the U.S. annually. Studies done by the Latin American branch of the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women estimates that 60% of Latin American children, that's children coming through the southern border, who set out to cross the border alone or with smugglers, have been caught by cartels and are being abused in child pornography and drug trafficking. That's from a report to the U.S. Congress. This horrific depravity alone is cause enough for all Americans, especially Christians, to recognize the evil of refusing to enforce immigration laws at the southern border. Secondly, unenforced immigration laws empower drug cartels to kill Americans. The 2,000-mile southern side of the American-Mexico border is now 100% controlled by Mexican drug cartels who own 25,000 drones used to spot border patrols and drop illegal drugs over the border. Not only has unenforced immigration law caused inconceivable quantities of illegal drugs to spread all through American cities, now we are seeing prescription drugs laced with fentanyl killing our college and high school students. This is not a political statement for me, but a personal one. Last year, I wept with a father whose heart was crushed by the death of his 21-year-old son, a student at MIT, because he took a prescription drug laced with fentanyl. According to the DEA, for Americans ages 18 through 45, the leading cause of death is an overdose of fentanyl, nearly all of which the refusal to enforce immigration laws on the southern border allows in. Third, unenforced immigration laws enable known terrorists to cross the border. On October 31, 2023, a member of the Senate Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee reported that 169 individuals had been apprehended at the southern border in 2023 who were on the U.S. terror watch list. And those were only the ones caught. She did not even speculate on the gotaways. She said the number of individuals on the U.S. terror watch list who tried to cross the border so far in 2023, this was in October, constituted a tenfold increase from the fiscal year 2021 numbers. Just a few weeks ago, a member of the terrorist group Hezbollah, Basil Bassel Abadi, age 22, was caught by U.S. Border Patrol near El Paso, Texas. While in custody, he was asked what he was doing in the U.S., to which he replied, "I'm going to try to make a bomb." Abadi told Border Patrol he had spent 7 years being trained with Hezbollah. Again, a reminder, God assigns civil government the responsibility of protecting its citizens from harm. Fourth, unenforced immigration laws welcome hardened murderers and rapists. On February 22, 2024, Laken Riley, a 22-year-old American nursing student, was abducted and killed while she was jogging at the University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia, by Jose Antonio Ibarra, a 26-year-old Venezuelan who had entered the United States illegally. ICE confirmed that the suspect was caught crossing the border but was released into the United States instead of returned to his country as immigration law requires. ICE also confirmed that the New York City Police Department arrested Ibarra back in September and charged him with acting in a manner to injure a child under 17. But since New York City is a sanctuary city, he was released. Open border advocates argue that many people are murdered. Laken's death is just being used politically. But it remains a stubborn fact that will not go away. Laken Riley lost her life because the Biden administration and the New York City government did not do what God says governments are ordained by him to do, protect its citizens from harm. There is zero biblical teaching to support a moral imperative to allow all immigrants indiscriminately into a nation. This idea is rooted in critical theory, which sees immigrants as the oppressed group and rich Americans as the oppressors. But, the Bible says, there is a moral imperative to protect the nation's border. Loving our neighbor as ourselves requires Christians to protect those around us from the evils that irrefutably accompany government leaders' decisions not to enforce immigration laws. As Kevin DeYoung points out, I don't doubt that the vast majority of displaced persons are simply looking for peace and a new chance at life. But does anyone doubt that there may also be a small number of extremists waiting in the same line? Is it unchristian to not want radical jihadists shooting people in our communities? That's hardly a far-fetched scenario. Christian charity means loving the safety of the neighbor next door at least as much as loving the safe passage of the neighbor far away. Now, having said this, we want to close with a recognition that God requires compassion for illegal immigrants who are already here. A few facts. While most immigrants are in compliance with U.S. law, something to remember, a significant minority, likely between 10.7 million and 12 million, are not present in the United States lawfully. Just over half of those individuals crossed the border illegally, while an estimated 4.5 million, including two-thirds of those who have arrived since 2014, entered lawfully on a temporary visa but overstayed that visa. So, what should ministry to existing immigrants look like? I believe that the biblical data calling believers to care well for the sojourner in our land, though providing no evidence whatsoever for having an unprotected border, does have great implications for how we treat existing immigrants, including those who are here illegally. Christians seeking to be faithful to the Scriptures want to show kindness and compassion to these individuals, but are also bound to respect the law. It is true that many undocumented immigrants have chosen to come to the U.S. illegally under very difficult circumstances, fleeing serious economic hardships or even persecution. However, except for those brought as minors or trafficked to the U.S. against their will, they still did knowingly break U.S. law. This is why I believe amnesty is the wrong approach. It communicates that the law doesn't matter. Even when laws don't work well, they shouldn't simply be ignored. In my view, and that of many Christians, including John Piper, the best way forward in the treatment of illegal immigrants, which both respects the law and keeps families together, is an earned legalization process. This would include the payment of a monetary fine as restitution for adults who willfully violated U.S. immigration laws. Of course, a criminal background check should also be a part of that process, and anyone convicted of a serious crime should be excluded and deported. The Christian call to compassion for all immigrants, including those who entered illegally, does matter, in my view. But it matters not because it leads to support for unenforced borders, but because it leads to mercy and compassion toward illegal immigrants already here. One prominent group of evangelical thinkers reasons this way. Most of the undocumented immigrants in U.S. churches are actually very eager to make things right, and they would be happy to pay a fine and meet other qualifications to eventually have the chance to be lawful permanent residents of the United States, a country most have come to love and see as their home. For many who have lived under both the fear and shame associated with their unlawful status for many years, the opportunity to earn legal status would feel akin to the biblical year of Jubilee, a time of redemption when debts were canceled. If the law is truly to be respected, we should ensure the integrity of the U.S. immigration system going forward. That means doing everything possible to deter illegal immigration, including pursuing secure borders, but also facilitating a legal immigration. Not without limit, but in ways that meet the needs of the U.S. labor market, that keep families together, and that allow the country to continue to serve as a place of refuge for some of the most vulnerable, persecuted people in the world. consistent with the best of the history and values of the United States of America. To summarize this episode, the case for both Old Testament and New Testament believers to defend and care for immigrants in their country is strong. We cannot close our hearts to the plight of the worldwide poor and oppressed who would love to experience the freedom and prosperity of our country. But there is no possible way to find biblical support for turning that compassion into support for immigration policies that do not protect the border. To the contrary, God explicitly says that He has appointed civil government for the purpose of protecting humans from harm caused by the reality of evil in the world. The extent of the harm caused by the current administration by not enforcing immigration law is difficult to fathom. The human trafficking alone that this policy promotes has resulted in thousands of rapes of children and women. The surrender of the border to the control of the Mexican drug cartels is destroying millions of lives as life-ruining drugs pour into our cities. Fentanyl alone took the lives of over 70,000 in 2022, almost all of it pouring into our nation because of unenforced immigration laws. The dereliction of this administration's God-given responsibility to protect our border has already opened the doors of our nation to numerous terrorists who are seeking ways to kill our countrymen and to thousands of hardened, convicted criminals coming in to murder and rape our citizens. Though compassion does not in any way justify unsecured borders, we saw that it does have a very big place in moving forward to extend mercy and grace to those immigrants who have already come into the country illegally. Perhaps, as we might oppose a Christian friend's intention to be unequally yoked to marry an unbeliever, but after it happens, we support the marriage. Christians today should oppose all illegal entry across our borders, but after it happens, treat illegal immigrants with mercy, support, safety, a way to make restitution, a way to keep their families together, and a reasonable but maybe tough path to citizenship. It might be argued that such grace will motivate more immigrants to come, but not if it is accompanied by strongly enforced border security. For further prayerful thought, number one, why do you think so many Americans are unaware of what is happening at the southern border? Of the categories of harm that unenforcement of immigration policies brings, human trafficking, spread of drugs, including fentanyl, terrorism, and attacks from hardened criminals, which concern you the most? See your show notes for additional questions. You may not know that the Mission-Focused Men for Christ podcast is made possible by those who give sacrificially to support our ministry so that every Christian man can be equipped at no cost for the spiritual battles that are so important for him to win at this cultural moment. If you are finding these podcasts valuable, please consider joining our team. We need fellow warriors to join our regular monthly support team, even with small amounts, so we can continue to sharpen Christ's men through His Word for battle. In the show notes, there is a link to enable you to make an online contribution should you desire to do so. Next week, we conclude our March series, Worldviews Leading Our Loved Ones Astray, by looking at the one worldview that provides the hope that all men need. It is the hope of restoration, and it all started on Easter Day. Thanks for joining us for today's podcast.